Do, do, do.
So you can pass that around if you like. That will give you the ability to be recorded on the stream.
Yes. That's just...
If I'm here, it's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. I may end up here though. Because yeah, that's good. That's enough of me for now.
Okay. So this is the last presentation today, and I'll hand over to Pierre.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Brage. This is Eirik and Dionys, and this is our bachelor project, which is called TAIA, the User Interaction Archiver. And for this project, our employer has been NISLAB, with the Biometrics Laboratory, more specifically Sumit Mundal and Patrick Bors. And our supervisor has been Marius Novosadsky. Yeah, for our task, the background is the Biometrics Laboratory, which are doing research on biometrics and alternative authentication methods, and they want to expand into the mobile and Android, or continuous authentication on Android, and they need to be able to log user behavior with the phone, and that's where we come in. And on the specific task then, because they want to be able to do this on the phones that are not modified, so they can do large-scale tests. And to do this, we have a research period on where we research how to obtain these touch events. And we also have a developer period where we develop an application that can actually log these touch events. And they should be exported into a CSV format, so they are usable by our employer. And this project we have developed for Android, and we have more specifically used the Nexus 6 running Android 5.0.1.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to talk about a little bit about the process. We initially thought we would use 3 to 4 weeks on the research phase, as we thought it would be challenging but not impossible to reach a solution during that time. However, after we came to the 6th week of research, we understood that this were a very optimistic estimation. And after the 8th week, we decided that, well, let's root it. We have to have a product for our employer, even though it's for a rooted phone. So we went into the development phase. As the research phase took longer than expected, the development phase suffered a 2-week shortage of development time. So as we progressed, we went away from Scrum over to a more agile approach using elements from extreme programming and more of a dynamic constant communication approach on the task deliverance and task dividing.
Yeah, and I just want to take a little look at why the research phase was such a big part of our thesis. And I'm just going to give you some small figures here. The kernel the kernel of Android is estimated at about 15 million lines of code. The kernel bundled in the version of Android that we used is a little larger in the file size, so we can estimate that it has some more lines of code. And the entire project that we looked at, the entire Android project, the kernel and the libraries built on top of that, is about 550,000 files. If you would print each and one of those on one sheet of A4 paper, you would get something close to the image that you see with the sheet of paper in the middle. To the right, you see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and to the left, the average 50-meter tall giant. Yeah. And another great difficulty was that since we didn't find any possibility of achieving this goal without modifications to the operating system, we needed to make a strong point that it's not possible. We needed to collect good evidence that indicates that it is or should not be possible, and that it's not just our own incompetence that prevented us from attaining the goal. So I just want to talk a little bit about the architecture, and as indicated before, it is built on the Linux kernel and inherits parts of its security model from it. It implements, for example, SE Linux in the newer versions. And applications are normally run only at the top layer and interact with the layers below on a permission basis. So if I want to access something as a normal application, I'm at the mercy of the system. The system has to allow me to do the accesses. When we trace the touch event, we see that when the user touches the phone, the event is generated in the touchscreen driver, registered in a queue, and then handled by a system service, which does some modifications, drops some events, and then identifies the target application and dispatches it to the target window. As our applications do not have any API to interact with to intercept any of those events, and all the steps below our own applications are protected by the security model, it is not intended and not possible to get notified when another application is the target of a touch event.
Yeah. And during our research, we discovered some methods that we would like to try and test to see if we can get it to work. One of these was overlays, which is basically an application or a view that runs on top of other applications in Android. And true that we discovered some possibilities, people claiming to be able to do it using a transparent overlay. And we tried this, did some experiments. We were able to either capture all the events, but then we will consume them because we were the target application. Or we could let them pass through, but we would not receive anything. And after doing some more research, we figured that before Android 4.0.3, you could set a flag when you let them pass through. You could say, let them pass through, but give me a copy of this event. Tell me what has been done. And but they changed it in 4.0.3. So if you specify the flags required, they will be removed. So it's no longer possible. Also, we experimented with accessibility services. This was something we thought was promising in the start, because accessibility service on Android is basically the API for developing applications for users who need a little more feedback, like people with visual or hearing impacts might need spoken feedback. And yeah, we thought this might be a possibility because to have an accessibility service work, the user has to not only give it permissions when they install, but physically go into the settings and allow it to do what it's supposed to do. And after researching some more there, we discovered that accessibility events does not contain any more specific touch data, so that it's not usable for our purpose. However, we also wanted to check if, because we were able to obtain the events with an overlay, but we were consuming them. So we were thinking, what if we can send them on manually? What if we can pass them on to the right application? We did some research on that area, and we discovered that it is not possible, and it's by design not possible, unless you have root access or the provider key. Yeah, so as a conclusion to our research, we have determined that the touch data is by design protected by the Android operating system, and it's not supposed to be obtainable without additional access rights.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about applications. Initially, we thought about storing everything locally on a CSV and exporting the file directly. However, this would take a lot of space. So, as a way of space conserving and making it a bit more efficient, we decided to use a database to log everything. Therefore, also needing a companion application on the desktop device. The Android application logs everything into a database. Accelerometer and gyroscope, other sensors we also log, are logged directly from the API, while the gestures are logged from the input file handled by the APOL. Yeah, the desktop companion are currently only implementing a DOM sampler for noise cancelling and exporting to CSV because of time constraints.
We talked a lot about our research period and how we have implemented it, but let's show you what the application can actually do. So we have prepared a video for this, as this screen is a little small for you guys to see what's happening. So let's hit play. As you can see, there is our application, and here is our user interface where you can go to settings and set settings for the session. You can do experiment IDs, so you can and session IDs and user IDs, so you have control over what members were part of this and what experiment was this. Also, as you will see here, we have checkboxes where you can check what you want to log. And there is possible to log touch data, accelerometer, and gyroscope data, which we are currently logging here. So let's hit start. You can see the application is minimized, and it creates a notification where you can control the logging. And also there is possibilities to pause, resume, and stop the logging. Let's see. Let's try using the phone while our app is running. Yeah, so here I'm just playing a little around in Google Maps, showing that the application, that you can do other stuff while the application is running. Also, while testing this and trying stuff, we have not been able to detect any performance issues. Things run smoothly and. Yeah, but I have to consider that we are using a Nexus 6 though. It's a quite high performance phone. This is just me playing around with Google Maps, so I think we'll skip the rest of that. Here I will be pausing the application. You can pause the logging, and you can continue doing whatever you want. However, now all your interaction will not be logged anymore. And then you can also resume when you're ready to start logging it again. Also, when you're done, you can stop the application, and the SQLite database will be will be created in documents in a subfolder called Thea. And yeah, and it's based, the file name is based on the experiment session ID and user ID, also date.
Yeah, now we're going to have a small demonstration of the desktop application and the converter.
Beautiful converter.
Now, first we load the database into the program. Yeah, this is one from the earlier, from the same movie as demonstration of the Android application. Now, Janis has selected a CSV exporter algorithm and two DAWN samplers. First, he wants just the raw exported into a CSV, because he needs something to verify the other data against. But then he wants, yeah. Now he finds, well, I don't need all of the accelerometer data. So I removed the adjacent points to make only the large differences being counted in the next CSV or next exporting. This is built on a pipeline architecture. Therefore, they will be. Therefore, you can do many things after each other and creating or doing more complex. Complex transformation of the data without added complexity. Now, Jans is starting the application. As you can see, the CSV converter is quite fast. It just transforms everything into an .exe file. The DAWN sampler, however, are somewhat more strenuous on the system and they will take some time. How are they done? Fast. Now let's see on the CSV how it looks. Yeah, here's the raw, the first he accessed without removing any data. It depends on the sequence, is the ID of the current row. The type is actually the type of event this. A means accelerometer, G means gyro, and T means touch. There are several columns on each of the rows, but and they mean different things. After the timestamp and timestamp are and the sequence are basically the only things that are equal common between the types. Now we're in the redacted, and as you can see, there are many of the points that are missing. Because of the lack of difference in accelerometer and gyro. We got one. Awesome. Yeah, and a gyro. Yeah. Of course. Okay. Yep.
So now for a little conclusion of our work. We had some tasks we were supposed to do, which number one was to research whether it was possible to do this without modification to the operating system. And we have done that, and we have shown that it is by design not should not be possible to do it. So. That's that one, and we have also developed an application that we have shown you here for the Android operating system that can log touch data and also also information on accelerometer and gyroscope as well. And it logs it to SQLite database, as I said. And then we have also created a desktop application for converting to CSV, and other formats can be added easily. Also, we had some goals for our project, and one of our goals is to be able to aid aid further research on biometrics and continuous authentication for the biometrics laboratory. Also, we had a goal for ourselves to gain deeper understanding of the Android operating system and experience in developing for Android, which I believe we have gained a substantial amount of. Yes.
And future work, we have only developed for this one phone. We have only looked at this one configuration. There may be some minor differences between different Android versions, different hardware implementations. There should maybe be done some more, at least publicized research on the event propagation chain and how Android handles events internally, because we found an excessive amount of unrelated information when we tried researching for it. Or with other words, there's very little information publicly available on how exactly these systems interact. Also, it might be interesting to look at the reliability and precision of the included sensors in different hardware configurations. And of course, looking at continuous authentication using our application to look at typical user behavior and how it is reflected in those values that it logs. And our application core may sometime in the future be used to implement a continuous authentication on the Android platform. As for our application, there's some things that we wanted to include, but the time did not allow it. We did not have the time to do that. So if we wanted to have an on-screen keyboard detection and logging so that you could actually log the typing of the keyboard, not only from the touch events that of course generates. We wanted to include detection of the target application, target window of a touch gesture. Password fields that the application automatically pauses the logging when it detects that sensitive data is being entered. And of course, there's multiple other sensors that we did not implement yet. On the raw converter side, there's always room for another algorithm or two, and of course, other file types to export to than we already did. Well, surprise is maybe not the right word. We in the initial planning, we expected that it may not be possible and that it should not be possible, but we did not expect that we would spend that much time making a good argument for that it's not or that it should not be possible. If we looked at when we looked at the accessibility services, there was some information that can be obtained from the windows, as you say, as the button text and which button that has been pressed. And that's of course something that we wanted to look at, but we couldn't. It isn't. In theory, it should be possible to do that kind of stuff.
Currently, our task was to make an application for using the biometrics lab to actually see if there are differences in how every person uses a touch screen.
Wouldn't it be possible to make
think it would be valid in at some way, because then you would see the difference in how they use that game. But we also wanted to look at how do you, for example, use your phone day to day on a daily basis. Because how, at least I'm me, I'm not sure about anyone else, but I use my phone quite differently when I play a game. Because,
And maybe when people this day use, they write other stuff, they write messages to friends, they call people. And that is not behavior that is really reflected in most games. It's an entirely different usage than when you're holding it, looking at the screen most of the time. We have no automatic transfer, so it is stored on the phone. And at the moment, in the moment when the stop button is pressed, the database is actually it's finalized, so all the events are flushed into the database, and then the database file is copied or is moved from the location from the internal location for the application to the emulated storage or the external storage. Depends on which one is present on the phone. We did not do any specific research on those areas. We looked at some research that had been done, and mainly the question for us was, why shouldn't we root the phone, or why shouldn't we modify the application just to start the operating system to start with? And the argument that was made is just that to roll out such an application to a to a user to experiment participant participants in a large scale could in some cases mean legal implications and moral implications, and some users may not want their phone to be altered by such an experiment. So that's a lot of. In some countries it's illegal, and so in short, no. It's of course interesting, but we had our hands full trying to make the argument that it's not possible on Android. So if we had looked at other platforms, we may not have had the time to actually implement anything. Our application was targeted at experiments, controlled experiments, small-scale experiments here, and those results are. There's some questions about the reproducibility on the data on the Google database, and it is limited in how specific you can be about the usage pattern if you use data from Google and just. Not just generate it yourself.
Also, on that note, on well, Google and other providers, they have their own key, like they can sign their applications with, and then they can get access to this data through various measures. And once you have that key or root, then there are many ways of obtaining the data.
Paying on the
Yeah, pain. Yeah. Okay, and with that, thank you very much. Wednesday night, there is
Everything is all right. I hope you will think. PowerPoint, den flytter skjerm, så det skjer noe annet her enn du ser her. Og det, nei, når jeg bytter over, for de skal vise videoklipp, men bytter over så henger jeg, ingent, og da,
ja,
du bruker den.
Ja, vi tror at du skal.